Helen, welcome to the Managing Uncertainty podcast. I'm Brian Strauser, Principal and Chief Executive here at BrightPath. And in this week's episode, I'd like to talk a little bit about how mutual aid from state to state works during a major emergency. Now, we just experienced this with Hurricane Helene that impacted Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, the eastern part of Tennessee, and several other areas in the southeastern United States. And there was a lot of misinformation, some I think spread out of ignorance, some spread deliberately about how mutual aid works. And so I want to pull back the curtain a little bit and talk about how this works in reality. So it starts with a congressionally chartered mutual aid system called the Emergency Management Assistance Compact, or EMAC. And this is how all jurisdictions and providers coordinate mutual aid needs. That includes state, county, local, private sector, non-governmental organizations, and others. EMAC starts with pre-event preparation. It is the understanding years in advance of a hurricane about understanding what resources one might need in an emergency. It's also about what resources your state or jurisdiction might be able to provide in an emergency. And we try to do this in a very standardized way. For example, we have clear definitions for what an ambulance is and what type of ambulances we're talking about. For example, when we say in the emergency management community a type 3 ambulance, we're talking about something very specific, and emergency managers know what that is. We also think about developing packages of resources that we can talk about asking for and talk about requesting, or I'm sorry, talk about asking for and also talk about providing if we have those available. We call these mission-ready packages. So you might, for example, and I'm making this up, but you might have an EMS task force mission-ready package that your state can provide. And we know that a mission-ready EMS package is made up of the following: personnel, equipment, capabilities, and that cost is X number of dollars per day. That is a mission-ready package that you could request or that you could indicate that you have available. This is all part of the pre-planning that goes into play. And emergency managers, when we're not having emergencies, this is what we do. We plan for these kind of interruptions. The second thing is, so that's kind of phase one. That's pre-event preparation. The second phase is that when an incident or disaster occurs, the governor in a state declares an emergency. Now, your state may have emergencies that could be declared at a city or township or county level, but ultimately, this governor has a lot of power related to emergency management. They're declaring an emergency at a state level. In doing so, that activates their state EMAC capabilities, and it allows for jurisdictions to request assistance from mutual aid. This is entirely independent, by the way, of what we hear about in the press about presidential disaster declarations. That's a FEMA funding thing. It's important, but governors get to ask for mutual aid on their own. They don't need the president of the United States to declare a presidential disaster declaration. States make this determination on their own. We call this activation. It's phase two of the mutual aid process. When a governor declares an emergency or disaster, then an event is opened in the EMAC system, and that allows states and jurisdictions to request and fulfill mutual aid. And only the affected state has to do this. So when we look at a major hurricane like Helene, every impacted state declared this emergency well in advance of landfall even occurring so that they could make requests in advance if necessary. So once that's been done and there's an event open in the mutual aid system, in the EMAC system, well, then when a state needs a resource or another jurisdiction in that state needs a resource, they open a request in EMAC for mutual aid. They can also just pick up the phone and call another state and say, hey, I'm here in Minnesota. I could call South Dakota if I was the emergency manager for the state here and say, hey, South Dakota, I need 12 type 3 ambulances with BLS crews. Do you have those? Great. I will put in a request in EMAC. Can you mark that you're fulfilling the request? requests are really, they're that specific. And these are routine operational tasks. They happen all the time from a mutual aid standpoint. They happen all the time for emergencies you probably don't even know have happened. But that's how that works. It can take just as few, it can take as little as a few minutes to open a request and have that request fulfilled. But this is, again, being able to do that, it has a lot to do with your ability to prepare in advance, that you've taken the time to understand what those needs might be, what you may want, and what you could provide in an emergency. So once that request is made, then mutual aid offers to fill those requests are sourced, starting with the closest states, right? Time, distance, risk. Who's closest, and will it degrade their own state capabilities to provide those resources? So if you've got four states that have been hit heavily by a hurricane, your mutual aid is probably going to come from outside of those four states because those states need their available resources. But that's a decision those states get to make about what they can send. But the time and distance factor is important because it gets mutual aid there more quickly and at a lower cost. And think about that. In Hurricane Helene, for example, it makes more sense to get those 12 ambulances from the state of Kentucky or from Virginia or West Virginia than it does to ask them to be sent from Minnesota when you need those ambulances in a hurry. Once the request is made and the offer is made and the pairing is done, then the resources prepare to mobilize and then deploy to that requesting state. While they're there, they take direction from that state's emergency management organization through the incident command system that we use around the country for emergency management. And when the mission is over, then they demobilize. That's what we call returning home. And they go back and they reconstitute, resupply, and then they're available for deployment again. When all of that is over, the very last phase is reimbursement. And of course, the pay issues here are big. And that's why we make these requests through a system, through EMAC. But reimbursement is basically how the sending state or jurisdiction gets paid for the use of their resources. This is all connected up front and it is part of the process through EMAC. This is, however, where FEMA often gets involved, because if there's a presidential disaster, there is money available from FEMA's disaster fund that is established and funded by Congress. And then that money can be used for a certain portion, a large portion of what goes on here. So that is a little bit about how state to state and jurisdictions within states do mutual aid in a major disaster like Hurricane Helene. Again, this is all done through EMAC, the Emergency Management Assistance Compact. You can learn more about EMAC. They have a great breakdown of how this works on their website, and that is emacweb.org. Now, I know a lot about this despite having never worked in public sector emergency management, because for many years I was the head of crisis management at a major retailer. And during my time there, I served a 2-year stint, actually more like 2.5 years, as a member of the board of the National Emergency Management Association, or NEMA. And NEMA oversees EMAC through a congressional charter. I also chaired the private sector committee at NEMA, and that committee, NEMA's largest committee, consists of all of NEMA's private sector members. So EMAC issues and the private sector's ability to help from a mutual aid perspective, particularly NGOs, is something that I dealt with on a regular basis. EMAC is a very well-defined system. It ensures that local jurisdictions and states get the mutual aid resources that they need under the worst of circumstances. What states don't do during a disaster, what you should never do during a disaster, is self-deploy without a request from another state. Now, as I said before, governors and emergency managers can certainly call neighboring states and jurisdictions and ask how they can help and then send whatever help is needed. That happens at the operational level as well, not just with elected officials. Even in my days in retail, when I was leading their global crisis management team, I would call jurisdictions, emergency managers, police chiefs, and ask how we could help. And we often provided a lot of supplies from a donation standpoint without expecting reimbursement or pay or anything like that. We did it because that's where our employees lived and that was the right thing to do. And my counterparts at other retailers did the same. So I have no doubt with Hurricane Helene and other emergencies this year that EMAC has handled hundreds of requests in a short period of time. And I also don't doubt that any request that makes sense for a state to fill, that they're not going to hesitate stepping up and fulfilling that request. It's important to remember as you think about this that emergency management in the United States is locally managed. It's led locally. It is supported by the state. The state, ultimately, the state's governor is responsible for emergency management within their state, and it is supported federally by FEMA and the other federal agencies that the president can bring to bear to support a state's response. So I hope that gave you some insight into how state-based mutual aid and state-to-state mutual aid works. That's it for this edition of the Managing Uncertainty podcast. I'll be back next week with another new episode. Be well.